G'day, and thank you for finding Right Country, Right Fire, our podcast about how Indigenous people use fire to care for country.
So the land can revive itself. If you do put a bit of fire on the ground in certain places, then it's like a medicine for earth.
You've got to do the right thing by country, and you've got to support that country, and otherwise you don't have identity, and you don't have a healthy landscape.
Go back to traditional burning and keep their land back the way it used to be.
It's really an amazing thing to see the empowerment of Indigenous people and to show what they know while they're out on country practicing their knowledge.
And when we start to show them these things, they start to understand all walks of life, you know. It's just a real magical thing to watch.
This is episode 5 of Right Country, Right Fire. If you haven't heard our earlier episodes, download them now, wherever you find your podcasts, or from Cape York NRM. .com.au. For tens of thousands of years, Australia's Indigenous people have used fire to look after country. The right kind of fire, in the right place, at the right time, encourages species that belong on that bit of country and keeps things balanced and healthy. Invasive species are discouraged, fuel loads reduced, wildfires prevented. The practice has been discouraged since Europeans arrived in Australia, but traditional Indigenous burning never really went away. For some years now, it's been making a comeback, and that began on Cape York Peninsula in the 90s and noughties, in Quinkan country. Two Kuku Taipan elders, Dr. George and Dr. Musgrave, were determined to take care of their country as their culture required. Now, their descendants carry their message across Australia. Lewis Musgrave talks about right country, right fire.
From far north Queensland, a little place called Laura. My grandfather's George Musgrave Sr. and Tommy George Sr. And I'm one of the eldest grandsons of the Taipan clan. And yeah, it's wonderful to be down here. Pretty cold, but pretty all right.
Those two old fellas, they're right at the heart of this story of why we're here. They're the inspiration, really, aren't they?
Yeah. They started this off a fair few years ago, and ever since then they've been working their way around to all different states trying to help everybody out to go back to traditional burning and learn how to keep their land back the way it used to be. And yeah, they're the heart of all this what's happening down here now. So yeah, it's a privilege of we're coming down here to represent our grandfathers and let everybody know that, you know, we're here to help them, to if we can show them a bit more, and if they're all comfortable what we're showing them, and teach them a bit more, like how we do it up on the Queensland side, up the Cape.
Yeah. It's very different country up there, that sandstone, the escarpments and all of that. It's quite different to here, but the lessons, the knowledge transfers, yeah?
Yeah, it's all different, like different landscape and whatnot, but it's pretty much similar. It's just the knowledge of the trying to read the different trees and the landscape itself. And pretty much down there, you get sort of time, the right time of the weather, because it's a lot more colder down there and it doesn't get as hot as up there in Queensland. But basically, down there, it's pretty, we'll get to see most of the country, and, you know, they keep it going, they'll get it back the way they used to have it.
Where you come from, around Laura, the people call it Quinkan country. And can you talk a little bit about that side of things, the story of the place?
Yeah, well, up there in Laura, they call us, it's the Quinkan country up there, in the Injim and the Tamara. And yeah, all the rock arts up there, it's all pretty much local knowledge of our people, our ancestors and that. But then from Laura, we go further up north to between Musgrave and Hand River. And that's where our grandfather's from, to land. That's the Taipan land. And one of the main place there is a homestead, and it's got a story place beside that, Flying Fox story and a wallaby story. And up there we call it Paperpe, and there's another one there, there's Tentacle. That's the main Merry Valley station itself, but the real name for it, Alphalus Gabbard, is Tentacle. That's meant the rock kangaroo, a tree kangaroo. And it's a lot more sacred up that way, and you can't go walking around doing stuff without local TOs like myself and my brother Dale and another cousin there, Douglas. And if you get people like us around when you're up there walking on country and looking at lagoons and stuff, you know you're pretty safe. But if you go up there on your own and start walking around and touching stuff, moving stones, breaking twigs, knocking over ant pits and stuff like that, well, then you'll be looking at getting really crook, you know. And sometimes it's pretty much hard for us younger ones to sort of take care of you and look after you, because you gotta have that sort of extra knowledge from them old fellas to like warm you or put a smell on you from under your arm, and like maybe bless you with some water and that around the lagoon just to make you all safe. But other than that, you gotta be very careful up on their country, because you can stumble into all kind of different place and different story places. You know, you got woman sites, you got men's sites, you got sites that only certain people can, certain elders can go there, and you got sites where only, you know, ladies can go to, and you got sites where old ladies can go to and young girls can't go to, and stuff like that. So if you're up there and walking around, and then if you don't have me or my brother or my sisters up there, well, you're pretty much looking for very bad stuff, you know, to happen to you.
And it's interesting thing. Like, I would walk into a place and go, oh, nice trees, look at the grass, look how the track goes. But I don't see any of that until someone explains it to me, and then it makes perfect sense. That sharing, it's about fire and about the story and everything. There's so much to know, and it's a big, big story.
Yeah, well, the more yield, that's the fire stick. That's what the name of this activity happening down here now, the two old fellows call it Moyil, that's the fire stick. That's in Taipan language. And when you go out to, like, you go up in our country, it's pretty similar to down here, but the basic thing that you got to know down here is the weather. Mostly when it's cold and that. But see, up on our land, we only get cold and we only burn for food source and to keep our water rolls clean and that, and keep cattle away from it and stuff like that. But with the Moyil, the fire stick, you can, you know, if you got different people, different strategies, it all boils down to whether you're interested in taking them notes and looking at the land before you even striking the fire, you know. And you got to sort of read your land before you can even light a fire, because sometimes you can just light it and it'll get away, you know, and you know, but big wildfires. But if you do it a certain way, like how we do it, like my grandfather taught me, well, and if you can read your country and read the land, pretty much you've got everything pretty covered. But the fire is the main source of all indigenous people from all around Australia, you know. And without fire source, you can have places go really... You can have a lot of wildfires just come in and wipe places out and even take up a family's lives. And yeah, it can be a very dangerous risk if you don't know what you're really doing with it. But if you know the land and you know what you're doing, well, you're pretty much safe, you know. Yeah. Sometimes you go to a place where there's just all green patches, and then there'll be one dead patch of grass, and you might want to just burn that. But then there'll be other places where everything else be all green, and you might have just a dead patch, you know. And if you burn in there, well, you know it's not going to get away. But down here, see, you got a lot of... It's not really grass. It's more like leaves and twigs and that fuel, you know, from the ground and off the branches from the trees and that. The canopy from the tree fall on the ground. And so that's the one of the main things down here. If they can... Not much so much grass, but the weed and all the canopy from the tree and that. And there's the main risk, because they've been burnt so many years and that just piles up and piles up. And if you pick the wrong time of day, and the wind will change and that, because they've got a lot of hills around. Like, you know, and if you've got a fire going uphill, you're not going to stop it. No way in the world down here you will stop it. It'll just go out of hand. But if you can read it before you do it, well, then you're pretty much laughing, you know. Oh, you won't be laughing, but yeah.
Safe, yeah.
Yeah, you're safe, you know.
Lewis Musgrave, grandson of Dr. Musgrave, the Kuku Taipan elder who helped start the revival of traditional Indigenous fire practice. What Lewis describes, reading country and applying the right fire, well, that's built on a lifetime's experience of learning from elders, repeated over many, many generations. And you can see it in practice and learn from experts at the annual National Indigenous Fire Workshop. This year, 2019, the workshop is in the first week of June, near Barmer on the New South Wales-Victorian border, hosted by the Yorta Yorta people. Go to firesticks.org.au for details and bookings. We're having a yarn with Lewis Musgrave on Yuin Country in the Shoalhaven region of New South Wales. Lewis had travelled from his home country up north to attend the 2018 National Indigenous Fire Workshop, the first one ever held outside Cape York Peninsula. And Lewis was very impressed by the local Indigenous fire practitioners. He says it was a special privilege to exchange knowledge and culture.
To walk out in country around here with the TOs and look at their country and to feel it and let the land talk to you and tell you what it needs. Well, then, you know, the basic of that is being with TOs and walking on country and seeing that. And if you can do that, you know, and let the land talk to you and get it all well, you pretty much know what you're doing, you know. Like some of the old TOs down there, they know how to burn, but some of the younger ones, they're just starting to pick it up, and they're doing a very good job of it, you know, and with their help, with their knowledge, and like they can tell us the land and that, but it'd be best if we get out there and look at it ourselves, just so we know what we're dealing with and feel the land. Because you can go anywhere and someone can tell you anything about the land, but you don't really know yourself unless you get out on country and look at it, you know, and feel it.
Last question. When you go home, back to Cape York, what would you tell them about what you saw down here?
Oh, well, I'll tell them for sure it'd be too cold for them up there. Yeah, but now it's a nice, beautiful country down there, you know. It just need to be maintained and with the fire and land itself. But pretty much I'd like to tell them, you know, they got a nice lot of people down there, respectable people, and they show us the same respect that we give them when they come up there. And down here, it's, you know, everybody's pretty happy and nothing goes wrong. But also the land is pretty lovely itself, you know. It's pretty cold, but the land itself is lovely. Just been walking around here for the last couple of days, you know, and wouldn't mind moving down here, but be a bit too cold for
in
me,
the
I reckon.
Summertime.
Yeah, in the summertime be alright, but yeah, at the moment we come down the wrong time, pretty cold now. Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, the people down here, they're just as similar as we are up there. And they show us the same respect and everything, and well, pretty much down here is pretty similar to home, but yeah, different down here. They don't have the, take notice, they don't have the ironwood bark. Kumutra, it's the ironwood bark, you know, that's the one tree I don't see down here, but they got the tea tree, the paper bark, you got the gum tree, wattle, but all types of different wattles and gum. You got the fine gum, rough gum. It's just as basic, same as home, but yeah, down here this grows a bit more taller and not much canopy can get burnt, you know. But if the fire does get really hot, well, you get canopies burnt from top to bottom. But down here, they got a bit more better chance because all their trees are pretty much straight and they go up pretty high, you know. And They just leave all the canopy on the bottom, but other than that, yeah, it's been a privilege being down here, and I'd like to take this knowledge and show them fellas back up home, you know, and tell them that they got the same sort of instinct that we have. It's just that they haven't got the chance to get out on country because they got a lot of the rules and regulations down here where they can burn, when they can't burn, and stuff like that, and it's pretty sad, you know, like, so we come down here to try and make the government and Royal Fire Brigade around here to sort of let the TOs get back on country and start doing their food burning, doing their time and seasonal burn, you know, for fruit trees and stuff like that. And if we can keep that knowledge back to them, and if the, you know, the government and the parks and wildlife and fire brigade give the local TOs the knowledge or the opportunity to get back on country and start doing all that, well then, you know, the place will change. And not only that, you'll have TOs be willing to go out and give fire brigade hand, and, you know, to tell the government, look, we're only doing these sort of burns and stuff just for our food source and just to keep our land back the way it was. Yeah.
Lewis Musgrave, grandson of Dr. Musgrave, the Kuku Taipan elder who helped start the revival of traditional Indigenous fire practice, along with Dr. George on Cape York Peninsula. Right Country, Right Fire is a podcast by Firesticks Alliance Indigenous Corporation, Moolong, and the Importance of Campfires, supported by Cape York Natural Resource Management. Find all our episodes wherever you get your podcasts, and you can find us at firesticks.org.au and capeyorknrm.com.au. I'm Richard Dinnan. Catch you next time on Right Country, Right Fire.